All right, welcome to Highly Questionable. We got Izzy Gutierrez on one side, Mike Gully Jr. and a nose full of hairs that drip down, even though he's not old enough to do that. Yeah, got you.
Which point guard do you think was the most significant signing? CP3, Kyle Lowry, or Lonzo?
Gotta say, over the years, we've grown accustomed to a certain bang for your buck on free agency, and the fact that this is what we're talking about coming off of it, a wee bit disappointing. Now, of those three guys, which one do I think has the most impact? Kyle Lowry. Now, I don't know how good he makes the Heat, but they are a team that I would think got better by making this addition. We're going to see just how much he has left in the tank, because Lowry looked good last year, but old dudes get old when we ain't expecting it necessarily, so we're going to see that. Lonzo going to Chicago, he's a good player. I just don't know who the player is that's supposed to make the Bulls better, because we've been waiting on that for like 20-something years at this point, and I don't think he's that guy necessarily. But with Chris Paul in Phoenix, they signed that dude through his 40th birthday. He is going to be older than we have ever recalled a really good point guard being, if he is really good. I understand that he went vegan. He seems to think it did very, very good things for him. But I don't think that long-term part of the deal is going to be what Phoenix wants. But they did that to get the short-term part of the deal, and that might keep them a championship contender.
To be perfectly fair, the last year of his deal reportedly isn't guaranteed, and that third year is partially guaranteed. So it's possible that it's not him being a Phoenix Sun until he's 40 years old, but that seems to be the goal. And frankly, it's probably better for Chris Paul to focus on himself, focus on his body, focus on his diet, apparently, and get to that 40th year with the Phoenix Suns. But look, if you're going to ask me which one of those three, I still think it's Chris Paul, because I think these off seasons are all about sort of setting the expectations for the following season. The Suns obviously got to the finals, set a pretty high expectations. They're going to assume they're going to be a little bit better. DeAndre Ayton probably improving. Devin Booker still has some room to improve, and maybe a couple of pieces here and there. So I still think that in terms of what it means to the organization, yes, CP3 signing is the greater signing. Kyle Lowry, it's a bit of a wait and see what that team can do together. I think the most potential is the Lonzo Ball signing, because we don't have great expectations for him. He could go there and develop into an all-star, continue to become the player we thought he might be early on, but that's a big question mark. So the answer to me for this question is definitely Chris Paul.
Yeah, I agree with Izzy. I mean, we're not even a year removed from spending almost the entire NBA season talking about how Chris Paul was the most important player on this young Suns team that had taken the next step after going undefeated in the bubble. And while some of those things didn't hold up once we got to the finals, we saw some of that attrition that comes with older players. He's still the guy on a team that, of these three especially, is closer to getting back to where they were last year and made sure to keep that continuity in tow, in part because of what Bomani brought up. It's not like there was a ton else out there that we could really focus on here. So if you're Phoenix, making sure you stay good, keep a player there that shows this team, that gets along very well with the coach, and cited Devin Booker, the star that we will most often try and poach from a team in this market for the remaining future, chose him as a reason why he wanted to be there, and I'm sure has a good enough relationship to make sure that this stays a place that Devin Booker continues to want to be.
Yeah, let me tell you something, though, about Lonzo in Chicago. And I'm sure that people in Chicago will be very, very happy to see you. Don't get me wrong, but please understand, you will always be number two in the hearts of the people in Chicago for the 2021 free agent class. Just you wait till they figure out that on top of everything else, Alex Caruso can dunk. First time Alex Caruso catch an alley-oop for Chicago Bulls, you will have never heard an ovation like that ever before. Yeah. I'm telling you, Izzy, you can vouch for me on this. LeBron yes. James played for the Heat. That place never got louder than when Birdman blocked the shot. I'm just telling you, I know what it is that the people like, and the people going to like Alex Caruso up there, just you see.
Is it a good or bad sign that the Knicks are basically running it back?
All right, so I used to do a TV show with Pablo Torre, and he was down on the hiring of Tom Thibodeau because he was like, yo, he's not a guy that's going to like bring the offense into the future or anything. My argument always was, the Knicks just need to be competent. They've been so bad for so long. The step one is competence, and then you go from there. This looks to be a bit of competence for the Knicks. They got Evan Fournier for a contract that's less than $20 million a year, and you may be like, ooh, Evan Fournier, but hey, dude shot 40% from three last year, and he could give you 17 points a game, which he did last year. That's a pretty good contract. They ran it back with Nerlens Noel, got him in about $10 million a year. That's a pretty good contract. They brought Derrick Rose back. He was perfectly capable last year. Not a bad idea. The only thing is this. This can only be a prelude to figuring out something else for you to do, because there is a ceiling on how good you can be when the best thing they do is play hard. And what they did last year, they played hard every night. That'll get you through in the regular season. You'll get smoked in the playoffs like they did last year, because in the playoffs, everybody's going to be playing as hard as you are. But the fact that they did not go for some big super splash, granted, I don't know what splash was available, but damn it, the Knicks are always down to try. They seem to be going little by little, and that's what they seem to need to do.
Yeah, there was not much out there for them to go try for or really to screw up, because what's been the past formula for the New York Knicks? Go spend too much money in free agency on a vet that's past their prime and see if that name can just bring people to Madison Square Garden. So this, to answer the question, I think is good because it's different, because you're not doing the same old Knicks thing here. Now, it also does have a shelf life. Like, this current Knicks team embodies one of my biggest, like, forms of anxiety in life, which is when I got to be in charge of the music for a group of people. Like, it's always a difficult thing. You're trying to gauge the situation, the people that you're there with. But when you find that one playlist that's not going to really kickstart the whole party, but it's not going to get you looked at sideways, you hold that thing tight and you bust it out in case of emergency. This Knicks team is that playlist. It is something that everyone in New York can get down with, because it's not going to embarrass you at the party. But like most jackhammer coaches, and Tom Thibodeau falls into that, it's only going to last you about 4 years before everyone starts to wilt under the constant pressure of this guy that only knows one speed. So they got time to figure it out. And in the meantime, they have found something that works and done the smart thing for once, stuck with it.
Don't they call that the Knicks tape? Mike, I think they already labeled that one. Look, the run it back model, I don't love, right? We've seen the Miami Heat do it from last year, from the year before going into last year, didn't really work for them. I've seen the Heat do it a couple of times, actually, didn't really work for them. And with this particular situation, I actually like it, because here's why. A, you add the Evan Fournier, who's a lot better fit than, say, DeMar DeRozan, who is being linked to the Knicks, just because he spreads the floor a little bit more. And, as you mentioned, Bo, the playing hard thing during the regular season, you can convince them to do that again, as long as they have a carrot of, hey, we might still improve this team in February or March. We might get that, you know, use these contracts, use a Fournier contract and maybe somebody else to really create a superstar that's going to come over here. That all remains possible. Now, if they get to the playoffs and that didn't happen, it's going to be exactly like you mentioned. The other teams are going to play hard. Then the Knicks will probably flame out, and then, you know, it'll be as you predicted there, Bo. But I like what they're doing. They seem like a competent franchise. They're putting together pieces that are not only an upgrade, or at least a slight upgrade from what they have, but are movable throughout the season. So this Knicks team might not look the same day one as it does going into the playoffs.
Who do you have more faith in for the rest of the Olympics? Team USA or Luka Doncic?
All right, Team USA got a win over Spain. I think this is the first time that we've talked about them in the Olympics after they won a game. And then, of course, we're not actually talking about them when we do that. We're talking about Luka Doncic, who has been out here basically looking like Luka Doncic on the Mavericks with the Slovenian team, which is the Bel Air Academy offense, except there's even less of a reason for him to pass the ball to anybody else. I got more faith in Team USA because I know there are limitations to how far you can go with the one-man team. I would imagine that's even greater when you start talking about the Olympics. Like, they could get through the bracket and the games they've done gotten through so far playing that game. You're not going to make me think that Team USA is going to lose to Luka and the Pips when the Los Angeles Clippers did not lose to Luka and the Pips. And I'm going to say this again. We do Team USA so dirty in this one, so dirty. There's nothing they can do that's good enough for us to be like, hey, let's take note of the fact that they did something good.
Yeah, I'm pretty afraid of this game against Australia, more so than I would be against a game against Luka Doncic, because if for nothing else, not saying that the Slovenian national team plays like the NBA, but they can be they're pretty familiar, Team USA, with a team that looks like it's centered around Luka Doncic and Luka Doncic alone, so they can probably come up with a game plan there. Really, the opponent doesn't matter. I watched the game last night. I was up pretty late, guys, so I'm sorry if I'm stumbling over things. It was an early morning as well, but they looked more like a team. Kevin Durant said it after the game. They looked like a team that has an idea of what it wants to do on offense. And a lot of the time it ends up in Kevin Durant's hands. And that's what they want, at least with that starting unit. You know, a couple of adjustments that Greg Popovich has made on the, you know, on the bench and bringing Jason Tatum in off the bench, I think has helped this team a little bit more with just chemistry and the way they can flow. And, you know, there are nights where Damian Lillard will probably have it and you can blow a team away. And there are nights like last night where he wasn't really all there and you still comfortably stretched stood out against Spain and really shot those three-pointers in the second half really well. So I'm not really concerned about Team USA, period. Now, they seem to have gotten some sort of a rhythm, and those shots, if they don't fall in the first half, they're going to be falling in the second half. Team USA is going to be fine.
Yeah, because even if we want to whittle this down to just your best player versus mine and say it is Luka and the Pips, we still probably have the best player, right? Kevin Durant on this team has started to really pick up and build on the exact guy we saw have one of the best postseason games, certainly of his career, but also in recent memory for the Nets this postseason. And so he's out there on a team where, to the point of then, the strength of the rest of this roster, it is deep enough for us to sub out Dame time Damian Lillard at the end of the game and still live to tell the tale about it. Like, if you're just waiting for that bomb to go off at some point, then you're in a pretty good position. This kind of feeds to what everyone inside Team USA's camp was telling us all along. Listen, we're getting guys flying over here on jets from the playoffs trying to put this together on the fly. Give this some time to bake, and when we get to the end, it might have something resembling the team we're starting to see now.
Also, since I don't know anybody else's name on the Slovenian team, like, I really don't have the analysis to give there, I do have this question. Is there anybody less likely to pay respect to whatever their protocols are to stop people from having fun at the Olympics than Luka Doncic? Something tells me that Luka Doncic is definitely the guy that's throwing some bed sheets out the window and climbing down to go out and kick it.
What? Up next on HQ.
As someone who has rooted for Texas in the past, I will tell you, yes, I would rather lose to Alabama than TCU, because at least losing to Alabama, you got a damn excuse. Losing to TCU, none. There is not a single solitary one, but this is their chance for all those people in there to get their shots off on Texas, and all the president could do was take it.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Geico. Save even more when you bundle home and car insurance.
Time to play the game that just realized he's the same age as Tom Brady. I don't know how to feel about that. Do you question?
Hey, you look younger. You give us topics and events and we question them.
Do you question if this is a fair point?
Okay, so University of Texas, along with Oklahoma, trying to get out of the Big 12 to go to the SEC. Now, something you need to understand about Texas, like as a school and the way they view themselves, they don't really like to interact with the plebs very much. You understand what I'm saying? But now they got to go answer to one of the most powerful bunch of plebs in the world, the Texas legislature. Look how this went. This woman is a TCU graduate, it should be noted.
What's your athletic budget?
It's over $200 million. It's probably $220, $225 in that range.
Where does that put you in the U.S.?
Depending on how you count, probably first.
And that's without a winning football team of late.
Since in spite of our football team, we've been winning, just not like we like to win.
3-7 against the Horned Frogs. Maybe your fan base would rather lose to Alabama than TCU. So,
and her face didn't crack. And to make it worse, it's actually 2-7 against TCU since TCU joined the Big 12. And as someone who has rooted for Texas in the past, I will tell you, yes, I would rather lose to Alabama than TCU, because at least losing to Alabama, you got a damn excuse. Losing to TCU, none. There is not a single solitary one, but this is their chance for all those people in there to get their shots off on Texas, and all the president could do was take it.
Pretty easy to take when you know your money's built different. Like he said the loud part right before all that. These are a bunch of people that, listen, get it off now, get your punches in here, because Texas is getting ready to leave, and then watch everyone else in the Big 12 try and figure out what the hell happens next year. So I get why you do it, but man, it just ends up tasting like a lot of salt on the way out.
Depending on how you count is an interesting phrase used by that gentleman. But I will say this about, I just read something that was kind of crazy to me, where I read that Florida State and Clemson were now intrigued by going to the possibly to the SEC, and that maybe the SEC wouldn't find them that intriguing because their streaming numbers aren't as high as Texas and OU. And that to me is mind-boggling, because in my lifetime, those have been two powerhouses of football programs, and yet they're not as intriguing as those two Big 12 schools. It just goes to show you these programs aren't all the same.
Well, all you need to do is pull up a census. Go look at, like, Clemson got part of South Carolina. That is what they have to offer. Part of South Carolina. Ain't no money in that. And if you don't believe me, just go to part of South Carolina. You'll understand exactly what I'm saying.
Do you question who made the better catch?
All right, we are going out to minor league baseball. Let's check out this first one. This is from AAA action. Wow, look at that jersey.
Ooh, that's a beautiful jersey. Going back, leaping at
the wall. Oh,
I mean, that's insane.
Wow.
Woo! Like yep.
Oh, he got a little pull from the, okay, got a little bit of the gait helping him stay up there for a little while. That explains it, because he looked like he was just levitating for a
second. Does that explain it?
What do I see? A hater. Let's go to double A action for this next one, just so you know this catch didn't count.
Trying to explain the physics.
Bright jerseys everywhere.
Here we go.
Oh!
Oh! So it doesn't count because you can't intentionally leave the field of play in order to make the catch. And this guy obviously was not intending to, like, stay in any sort of way. The first one is definitely the better catch, though. Like, I mean, that wall is as high as it was, and he made it look like he was levitating. No matter what Izzy has to say about it, that's what it looked like. We're going with number one.
I'm going with number two on this one. It's because of that. It's because he didn't have the extra handle to be able. I mean, that's like grabbing the rim when you're dunking. That's dunk contest stuff. That's not in-game stuff. That other one, you're hurt. You're like a hurdler while you're catching a baseball. I'm going for that one, even though it didn't count.
So I think the lame part about the second one is we're basically saying you got to try and hurt yourself by at least running into that fence when you lean over to catch it for us to really embrace that. Right. But with the first one, it is not akin to grabbing onto the rim dunking. That's the guy that gets up high enough to push off a little bit on the dude he's already putting his legs on his shoulders for here. So I'm going to give
like
this
a Tom
one to
Chambers on Mark Jackson dunk where he just floats up a little bit more after, you know, hitting him in the chest.
Oh, yeah,
I'll give you that.
It ain't like he went up to grab the rim. It's like he went up to grab the backboard.
Do you question whether Tyler Hero was trying?
All right, this is Tyler Hero at a basketball camp. I would love to hear the motivational speech he gave these kids. I'm also very curious exactly who the kids are, because it could be anybody with Tyler Hero. What we got here?
Ooh, Tyler wants one. Ooh.
Oh, ooh. He's key. Oh!
Uh-oh.
Oh, he missed it.
Missed it.
It doesn't matter. You shut the gym down after the crossover anyway. It doesn't matter.
I got to say, I don't know if Tyler Hero has what it takes to truly be a champion, because you're supposed to knock that shot to the other court. I'm sorry. I don't care how old that kid is. You build champions by letting them know that ain't nobody going to let them win. We should be able to hear that block shot, not on the microphone, just reverberating throughout America.
Yeah, I was on Instagram yesterday when I saw him. I said, oh, No Limit Hero starting a live feed. And it was this. And I was like, ooh. Something bad's going to happen here. He's either going to get crossed over, he might block somebody and look terrible. The good news is, looks like he might be staying in Miami after this Kyle Lowry deal. It doesn't seem like there's any takers for him anywhere else. So, hey, maybe he will be staying put.
Staying put and just reminding everyone what he reportedly cost the Miami Heat?
We went through this.
Reportedly.
Reportedly.
That's
you know.
Right. I forgot, though. We are going to carry the narrative because it's more fun. Y'all would not trade Tyler Hero to get James Harden, even though that might not be true.
Time to play the game that is absolutely terrified of making fun of Texas. See? Or no?
I'm terrified of rooting for them. You tell us what's on television tonight, I tell you if we're intrigued. We'll tell you if we're intrigued. It ain't just about me.
Tonight at 7:05 p.m. Eastern, Orioles and Yankees.
All right, there were MVP chants last night at Yankee Stadium. Somebody who was on the field. Show me who this was. Oh, I misunderstood with somebody.
Oh!
Uh-oh. I'll tell you right now, I ain't touching that thing. Not with my bare hands.
Mm-mm. Like, those guys, my worst nightmare.
Do those guys get, like, cross-training in, like, raking the dirt and in picking up cats? Where the dog catch at?
Just ran the Bo Jackson real quick up the wall.
Oh!
Okay.
Run that catch back before. My buddy's got bounce.
Pretty, yeah.
Oh!
Doing good work.
Oh.
Running out of options, though.
Parkour. What are they doing? Go ahead and grab the top rung like Izzy said.
Yo, he ain't no quitter.
Oh, no.
Oh!
None of these guys really want to catch the cat, right? Like, that's going to be a nightmare.
No, they want to catch the cat. They just don't want to touch it.
The one guy brought out one glove. The single glove is his ally.
We're still going, Mike. We're still going.
Oh, and a clean exit.
Oh, the people did not appreciate what just happened there. That was the most fun they had all day. Is it you and Tree?
No, I hate cats. I would never chant MVP at a cat, although it feels like that's a little bit more entertaining than an Orioles game.
Mike, you intrigued?
I am intrigued. I feel like I'm that rare person that's cat and dog person. Like, I'd be fine to go out there and hang out with that cat. Seemed like a good dude and hell of an athlete. Someone get that cat in the farm system.
What do we think about that, Bo? Can you be both a cat and a dog person? I believe you're neither, but can you be both?
I was about to say, I think you're all weirdos. All right, that is the show. One day Izzy Gutierrez is going to get out of that office. But in the meantime, check out Mike Golic Jr. on Chanae and Golic, 4 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
I just realized we ran it back from yesterday.
We did.
Did we do better?
We did. I didn't get this in yesterday, though. The right time with Bomani Jones, wherever you get your podcasts. And I wore my Notre Dame shirt for you, Bo.
I'll let you slide.